Thank you, Adam, and good evening, everyone. We got live stream working, yes or no? There's a time change today, so. Okay, so Michelle is working. I had Martin Addy. He was texting me up here, so he was like, hey, what's going on with the live stream? So we'll say hi to them in a couple minutes. Okay, I will. So remind me to tell them that you're sorry and that you forgot, because I'll probably forget. But sometimes I amuse myself. I'm sorry. Okay, and I got a. Okay, and yes, Thanksgiving is coming up. So I get the text through my watch as well. But, you know, it's kind of crazy. Today was. It almost feels like I needed to go into hibernation with this weather out here. It's like my body's not used to it. And I've been sleepy all day. I was telling Alicia I got the case of the yawns as she's yawning right now. You know, there's just something about this weather. I don't know. It's kind of odd. I'm not used to it. I don't know what to do. You know, do I wear a jacket? Do I turn on the heat? I have no idea, because usually I go outside and feel like I'm going to melt. But I am thankful for this weather. It's been a beautiful week. It's been an exciting week, everything that's going on. But I just want to say I am really so thankful to be able to be here, to be able to be a part of the service this morning, and to take the time to put all the craziness that has been going on with politics aside today. And I know this week coming up is going to be very interesting, to say the least. We'll see where we go from there. But I know that one of the things I was talking to Alicia about yesterday is that in all things, in my Sunday school this morning as well, is God's going to take care of us as his children. So we're just a part of that. And that's some of the things I've been thinking about these last couple weeks. We had some time to be able to spend together with the men's fishing trip that we went up to Willow Springs and didn't catch many fish, just two, but it wasn't about catching the fish. It was about being able to fellowship, and we had a wonderful time doing that. It was really nice up there as well, and I know that with the time that the Lord gives us, that there's so many good things that come from that. There's also some new babies that we have that are with us, not here today physically, but that are with us. And there's some people here. Joel and Jen are visiting with Amy and Caleb right now as we speak. With baby Charlotte, and Alicia and I had an opportunity to go and see Gage and Sadie's new one, Addie, and that was really, man, it just makes me feel blessed to know that these young adults now, not kids anymore, I got to get that through my mind, that these young adults have grown, have a good foundation, and are now bringing in the next generation. And, you know, when we were on our men's fishing trip as well, we had Brother Danny up there, and he had Caden and Kylie with us, and it just was a blessing to be able to be there, to see kids, new kids, young ones, to be able to help them, to share time with them. And you know, it's almost exciting for me to be able to see these new parents and understand all the things that they're gonna deal with as their kids age. It's amusing to me, and it's something that I pray about as well, because there are challenges that come with that. But there's so much joy and so many blessings in that, and it's something that all of us have a part in as well, as far as being an example. Okay, so live stream on.
Can you apologize for the live
all stream? Right.
Time change that I missed.
All right. Hello to all you live streamers. I've just been up here kind of rambling, but kind of sharing some of my thoughts of the week and the last couple weeks, and our sister Michelle apologizes that there was some kind of time issue.
It's because the time zone.
The time, daylight savings, okay. Yep, so she has to change the computer settings for the daylight saving times, but you guys are here now, and that's what's important. So thank you for taking the time to join us tonight. And, you know, I was, hi, Martin, and I got your text, and I was actually going to talk about this thing, this device here that I have in my hand, because one of the things that I've been, all of us get it, I believe, it's part of the phone's, whatever it does, notifications, that it tells you like how much time you've been spending on your phone all week. And I was looking at mine. I listen to my phone a lot, especially to catch up on the news while I'm at work doing some of the activities on the computer that does. It's just more of going through the motions so I can listen to the news and all that good stuff. And I get the notification Sunday morning, and it said that on average per day, that I spend 7 hours and 48 minutes on my phone. And I was like, oh my goodness, that is like insane, because that is quite a bit of the day that's on there. Regardless, I listen to music, I listen to podcasts, I listen to news, and I just kind of was thinking about that and how it can be so consuming, depending on what you're doing with it. You know, it could be to keep you informed, to keep you up to date, you know, and it can also be a distraction from a lot of things that you should be dealing with. It could actually get you in trouble, you know, in a lot of ways as well. But if you're interested in that, somehow your notifications send you that. Check and see how long you spend on the phone on average per day. And one of the things that I do enjoy is being able to be out in the beautiful country that God has given us, whether it's fishing, and we're getting ready to go hunting this week, and so we're in preparation for that, our second hunt. This is going to be Connor and I, and I really do appreciate that. Really, the only thing I do out there on my phone is check in with my wife to let her know that we're still alive and we didn't get eaten by bears or Connor didn't shoot me or something like that. So, you know, we make sure that we're safe and all that. Aside from, you know, all the things that you can do, I appreciate so much more the ability to be able to go out there and to spend time away from the hustle and bustle of the world and in God's country. It's a beautiful thing that He has given us. In this time of year, it's even so much more nicer when you could go out and you can enjoy the weather on top of the environment that God gives us to be in as well. And so, you know, some of the things that I've been thinking about is this time that we have and what we can offer with our time and the sacrifices that we make. Are we truly making sacrifices for the Lord and for the church itself as part of the body? And, you know, I think about that and what are the things that we're offering? And I know that one of the things that happens when we put our time and efforts towards serving the Lord is that we show in our lives how we honor Him. And there's all kinds of blessings that come with that. There's this richness that I feel that the world can't give, and it's in that richness that I don't find myself admiring the things of the world, but the things of God, and that's a richness that the world can't give. And we'll talk about that a little bit, you know, with all the things that people put towards trying to feel good in this world, but there's this idea that a richness is something that pertains to the substances that we own, and that makes us who we are. But there's this richness from God through offers and sacrifice that truly matter, that truly give an impression of who we are and where our heart's at and the intentions of it. And so I wanted to start off with 3 Nephi chapter 4, verses 48 through 49. It says, I am the light and the life of the world. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And you shall offer up unto me no more the shedding of blood. Yea, your sacrifices and your burnt offerings shall be done away, for I will accept none of your sacrifices and your burnt offerings, and ye shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and a contrite spirit. So this law of Moses with the burnt offerings, there was all kinds of offerings that were given to the Lord for many different things. And the Old Testament talks about that, the way that they had to go about doing that in Leviticus, and when the law of Moses was coming to fruition, and what the people with the Lord wanted the people to do for their offerings to him. And this was a way that the house of Israel had that relationship with God for all the things that they were doing, and what they needed to do as an atonement for the sins that they were committing. And there was different offerings. There was burnt offerings, and I did a little bit of research on these. It was basically your expression to your devotion to God. It was for your sins, and there was many things that were given in burnt offerings, the sheep, the bulls, the cows, doves, pigeons. You know, all these things were given up to God as a burnt offering. There was also grain offerings, and this was also an expression of your love to God. And grain offerings a lot of times were given in portion to the Lord. A portion of it was burnt and given to the Lord as an offering, and another portion of that was given to the priest to be able to sustain themselves with. And peace offerings were also given unto the Lord. And one of the things with these offerings that I forgot to mention is that a lot of times when it came to the bulls, to the rams, to the cows, whatever it was, it just could not have a blemish. It could not have a defect. And then the sin offering, this was for, obviously, people's sins. They offered up these things to the Lord for their sins. And this was something that was set in the law of Moses, but as we know, when Christ came, that he put that law to rest, and that he was the one that was going to take upon him all the sins of the world and take those sins upon him because of the love that he has for us. This is an ultimate sacrifice, an ultimate offering that was given to us by Christ. And, you know, this is how he defeated death, and this is how we can overcome all the things that we go through, all the trials, all the sin, all the wrongdoings that we do, the bad choices that we make, the poor decisions, all those things in life that we do. This is the way to get to God, is through Christ, because he offered himself up. And therefore, the law of Moses was no longer. It was Christ that fulfilled that. And it says in Hebrews 10:10, by which will we are sanctified. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So this doesn't have to be done again. This is a one and done offering that Christ gave for us. But in life, you know, we have this opportunity. We have God watching us, God tending to his sheep, God helping us through life. And part of that is, you know, he's seeing what we're doing. And that's one of the things I noticed on this men's fishing trip, is that, you know, it's very difficult when you're trying to fish with little children. They really like to fish. Little kids like to fish a lot. And part of them liking to fish is going through trial and error. And there has to be somebody there to help them through their trials and errors. And part of those trials and errors is getting their hooks stuck on the rocks, the bait falling off, the fishing line breaking, the fishing line getting tied up with somebody else's fishing line, right, Zane? And, you know, you experience all these things that the kids are going through and learning. And it's interesting because, you know, it was a great opportunity to be able to serve, to spend time with the brothers and doing something that everybody enjoys. But as we do things, we need to understand that there's a trial and error in our lives as well. There's things that we're going to do that are going to go awry. There's things in our lives that might break emotionally, physically. You know, there's all these things that can happen to us. But we got to understand as God's children that He's there to help us be able to mend those things, to fix those things, to show us the proper way. And that's a continuous offering that God gives to us, a continuous reaching out because of His love that He has for His children. And so, you know, we see this in the time that the Lord takes. You know, time is nothing to the Lord, but to us it's everything. And I'm understanding that more and more each and every day. And it's something that a lot of times the past couple weeks my wife is asking me if I'm on crack because I'm trying to do more with the little time I have. And, you know, whether it's cleaning the house, helping out, you know, in the kitchen, baking bread and making other types of projects that are making other types of products that are healthy for me. Trying to extend my time here on earth because I just find so much pleasure in life. I've been finding a lot of pleasure in life lately. And, you know, I believe that part of that is because of the time that within myself I'm giving to the Lord and that I'm sharing with each other, our brothers, our sisters, and you know, it's just a wonderful thing to be able to see how God works on your heart the more and more with the more time you give Him. You draw yourself closer to Him, and He will draw Himself closer to you. And, you know, God's offering these opportunities day in and day out to do things, to lift others up. And one of these things that really helped me be able to think about this as well is how fast the cycle of the year goes by. Like I was just joking earlier, I don't know if those live streaming had heard it, but you know, it seemed like the summer was yesterday and here we are, and it's like, boy, people are wearing jackets and I feel like I need to go in hibernation, but you know, this is our cycle through life, and take advantage of the time that God gives you. Find out what you can offer to others to be able to glorify, to honor God, and He will give you riches in your life. He will give you things that are so valuable that money can't buy. And I wanted to speak towards that because, you know, all these offerings were given to the Lord. And today it's kind of interesting because I think about that. And, you know, we don't do burnt sacrifices or anything like that. So there's just some things that we have to offer. And I believe all of it starts with the Spirit of the Lord. And it's within our hearts and in our minds. That's where these offerings start. That's where these things fester. This is where we need to act upon what the Lord is giving us the impression to do and how to do it. Whether it's going fishing, whether it's having a women's brunch here, whether it's having a game night, whether it's taking time to sing songs together. There's so many opportunities that the Lord gives us to be able to take time to glorify Him, to honor Him in our lives. And, you know, paying our tithing and doing things of that nature are important as well. But really, it all starts in our heart, where those offerings are coming from. And that's where I wanted to go to Luke chapter 21. And I just wanted to read this. We all know this. And, you know, a lot of the message that I have up here tonight, it's just my personal experiences that I've had it as of lately and things that we can relate to together as the body of Christ. And it says in Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4, "And he looked up and saw the rich man casting their gifts into the treasury. And he also saw a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. I like that word, thither. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast into the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. And here is a picture. This is actually two mites, and it was made out of bronze. So I was kind of like, okay, well, let me look into the mite a little bit here. And it's kind of funny, when you Google mite, you actually get little bugs. And so I had to kind of like the money mite, you know, from the time of Christ. But it's made out of bronze. It was also known as a lepton. A lepton in the Jewish language meant small, and it was worth 1/64th of a denarius. And a denarius, I don't have a picture of that, was a day's wage for a common worker. So 1/64th of a day's wage, and that's all that she had. So that would be about, in today's terms, it said 1/8th of a cent. And so this is all she had, you know. So as we had our service this morning, Brother Joel was speaking about how when Israel left Egypt and they were being fed of the manna, God gave them what they need to sustain themselves day by day. And one of the things I wanted to point out in this is that, you know, when she casted this in and Christ said that she casted in more than they all, that is a really impactful statement. And this is the type of charity that, you know, truly came from her heart and the trust that she had in Christ. And so he gave her praise for doing that. You know, I'm sure that, you know, it probably was an impact to the folks, that the gentlemen and the Pharisees, the disciples, all those that were standing around as this was unfolding before them. And, you know, I was thinking about this, and, you know, do I actually realize how much we have to offer? You know, life has been really good for my family and I. We had some wonderful testimonies today about gentlemen that are of age that have experienced life in a great way. And, you know, starting off, you don't know, you know, day by day, you're living day by day, and you put your trust in the Lord. And for myself is a testimony of that as well, you know, with my family and I. You know, we had some difficult times financially, and, you know, it's kind of interesting, because those are the times that you really reach out to God to ask him for the help that you need. And it's also so interesting how over time, when you apply yourself and your time to the Lord, you know, when you put your faith in him and you go through life trusting in him, that he takes people to places that are good, to places that they are well taken care of, financially, temporally. You know, he gives us, he provides for us. He knows what we need, and he blesses us. These are the types of riches that come from God. And it's because our hearts and our minds are in the place to where, you know, we're trying. We're working towards fulfilling God's desire in our lives to serve him. And I think that, you know, whether in our service we get paid two mites or $20,000 a month, $200,000 a year, you know, if we have our heart and minds in the right place, what we earn is a lifetime of lessons that we could teach others, to show that putting our trust and our hope in God and what he gives, that it far surpasses the riches of this world. I think about those things, and I truly believe that, you know, through the difficult times that we've had in our lives, that I can't even imagine, you know, like how well the Lord has taken care of us now. If we didn't have him in our lives, where we would be at. Very interesting to ponder on those things. And all I can do is stand up here and praise him for that. And that's one of the things is, you know, as I'm learning, as I'm seeing the blessings unfold before my eyes, I have hope for these new ones, the younger generations, to be able to have that foundation in serving the Lord. And one of the things I think about is our intentions. You know, we have to have good intentions with our offerings. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, just a couple verses here. But this I say, in verses 6 and 8 through 8, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall also reap also bountifully. Every man according as his purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And I want to say that with this verse, you know, if my heart is completely given over to God in an effort that I put forth, I never walk away from that which I went through with regret. I have no regrets of if there's something that we put forth to the Lord with wholeheartedly and with the right intention serving God, I have never walked away saying, dang it, darn it, I wish I never would have done that. I truly give God the glory for helping me be able to have good intentions, a good heart, and the right mindset in doing work for him. It could be difficult. It could be a struggle. You know, we all deal with frustrations, but the one thing God proves every time, no matter what, when everything is said and done, a lot of times I look back and say, man, what did I really, you know, I didn't need to act like that. And it's a learning experience. There's always good outcomes with the offerings that we give to the Lord. And, you know, a lot of what the Lord sees when we're doing it is based on, you know, where our heart's at. Where our heart's at. And some of the things that I also wanted to share is that, you know, not only in our intentions in giving our offerings and our sacrifices to the Lord, but there's a lot of times when we're also receiving and how we receive things as well. We've been in situations, my family and I, to where, you know, it's very difficult, and we've been provided to by people in the church that are anonymous. And there was one year that we were struggling really hard, and we were just making ends meet. And that was in 2008, 2009, when the housing market crashed, and times were tough, very tough for us, because I was working a position with Sanderson Ford. It was a flat rate position. Basically, you get paid per job you worked on, and when there's no jobs to work on, you don't get paid. And we were going through, and as Alicia will testify to as well, we didn't have enough money, but we always made the bills. And there was this one time, it was just before Christmas, and you know, it was, it to this day, it really touches me deeply that there was gifts left on our doorstep for the kids. And it really just goes to show that people of the Lord truly know where their brothers and sisters are when times are difficult, when life is challenging, and they're there to step up to care for them. It's truly something that impacts somebody all their life. People don't forget about those things. You know, it's interesting how you have this desire for your kids to be able to have everything, and especially when they're young and you get to buy them toys. And, you know, as times got better, we would buy the kids toys for Christmas. And, you know, those toys, as much as they loved them and opened up their presents, they seen them, they played with them, You know, it almost seemed like sometimes the boxes and the wrapping paper was more entertaining than the toy itself. And after a couple weeks, that toy would just kind of fall by the wayside. But those things that we receive from God as gifts in our lives, from brothers and sisters that take the time to do those things, have a lifetime of impact on us. Those are the riches. And so when we receive things as well, we need to receive that in a loving manner as well. We need to receive them knowing and considering the position that the person is in that is trying to give an offering, a gift as well. They're doing that to be able to glorify God and to do something good for somebody else. So I've thought about that lately as well, and it really truly is one of those riches that you carry for all your life. And so I want to read in Proverbs chapter 16, just a few verses here, 1 through 9. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. And so, you know, it's kind of interesting because I truly have been guilty of this, of giving and just to lift myself up. Not really thinking about the whole and who I'm serving. And I think a lot of times in the past I've tried to make myself feel better by doing things for others just to lift myself up. But if you're truly doing it for God, that's what lifts us up. That's the motives that the Spirit of God gives us. And in all things that we do, no matter what we do, that in serving the Lord, God makes things sufficient for us. And whatever efforts we put forth, if our heart's there and we're given 110%, that's what the Lord wants to see from us. And that's part of here, and as I read it, Jay spoke of this earlier, and one of the things I wanted to share is that, you know, it's kind of interesting because when I do a Sunday school, I talk about certain topics. And today we're talking about politics, and I'll talk a little bit about that, but we were talking about providence and sovereignty and, autonomy. And with providence, this is something that Jay had mentioned earlier today in the morning service. And this is something that God's providence in our lives is something that we should be allowing to happen. God knows what's going to happen in the future and what's happening now. We can have our own train of thought on how things should be and try to put into place the actions that it take in preparing for things to be. But in all things, God has the foresight. He is able to understand what it takes and provide us for preparing for the future. It's something that we need to give ourselves over to God for safety, for security, for time, for change. These are the things that can unfold in a moment's notice. Anxiously awaiting what's going to transpire this week, but at the same time, as I was telling my Sunday school class, that God has all of his children in mind and will take care of them all as long as we put our faith, our trust, and our hope in him. And so, you know, it's one of those things that you have two sides of the spectrum when it comes to the politics right now. It seems like, man, we could go one way or the other, and our thoughts and our prayers need to be for this country, for its future, and that God will have us in mind as part of where this country goes. And so it's important for us to take time to understand what's going on and to be prayerful about it, to be prayerful and give our time to the Lord. And the Lord will have our paths directed in the right way. So we need to always be close to God, especially in the times that we live, spending time prayerfully unto what's going to happen and how he can have an impact on that. And so the Lord will provide. And 1 Chronicles 29:11-12, it says, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all." This is something that should uplift us. God's providence in our life is something that is proven all the time. And the strength that we get from God that is given unto all, I'm here to tell you that this morning service, I received so many things from the testimonies of hearing life experiences. That's something that changes people. And, you know, Dwayne was talking about his retirement, and I was thinking, wow, this is kind of crazy because, you know, he was in the same spot as Jay as well, not knowing what's going to happen, where he's going to be. And as of November 1st, I have 14 years with the city of Phoenix, and so my time's coming to where I'm going to have to make some decisions. You know, it's a matter of depending on how much sick time I build up. I could be done in 5 years, and if I decide to go six for the full 20, I can do that as well. A lot of times I say I'm just going to stay the full 20 to give everybody a hard time like I was given for the 19 years I was there. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, these are some of the things that God gives us strength to be able to endure in this day. And the testimonies that I heard this morning about people's lives is just an added reassurance that God takes care of his children. And that's one of the things, these riches and honor come from God, these riches. And I think about that. And the amount of money, so I Googled this today in our Sunday school class, the amount of money that politicians put into influencing people to change their mind or to vote for them it's insane. And so when I Googled it this morning, it's probably even gone up by then with all the TV commercials you get every day and ads and on everything else. $16 billion in the 2024 election has been put into advertisement trying to sway a person to believe in a politician to where probably 90% of the stuff that they tell you is a lie. And I was thinking about that. How crazy that is, the amount of money trying to sway people, influence people into believing in them. And I was thinking about that, and I was like, you know, how much money did the Lord spend in trying to get us to believe in him? Zero. No money. God does that through his love, through his spirit, and through the time that he gives us. It just baffles me of where money goes and for the purposes of it in this day in which we live. But God, he doesn't have to use a penny to influence us. It's his spirit, it's his love, and it's his grace that gives us the desire to be able to serve and to offer our time and to make sacrifice for him. And so, you know, we should have this dependence on him, just like the poor widow, you know, with giving all that she has, because God takes care of his children. And so, you know, I saw this here, and, you know, God doesn't take care of us by showering us with money. I thought that was kind of comical, but God takes care of us through giving us experiences, understandings, brothers and sisters, to be able to learn and to grow from, and Him working with us. And He says in Matthew 6:25-26, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they?" And so, you know, I thought about this, and I spend a little bit of money on the winter grass, and I was actually finding myself rather frustrated the last couple weeks, because you put a lot of effort into your, if you plant winter grass, you know, you put a lot of effort into getting it prepared and doing all this work to have a beautiful lawn. And I appreciate that, and I like to enjoy that. And one of the things, Alicia was giving me a hard time, because I was getting really frustrated because of all the birds eating my grass, and I'm not going to have a lawn because of those birds, those dove. And I started thinking about that, and I was like, you know what, all I got to do is go to the shed, and because I bought a 50-pound bag of seed from Sprinkler World, and that 50-pound bag is more than sufficient for my small yard. And I just need to go out there and spread some more seed. You know, the birds have to eat too. You know, they're not stealing from me. And I was getting really like, you know, I want this great grass because I want my grass to be the best on the block. And, you know, I came to the conclusion that it could still be good grass and I could still feed the birds. All I got to do is get another cup of seed and spread it out there. The birds will get their fill. You know, and they technically say that you got to plant 30% of your grass seed is going to be eaten by the birds. So, you know, calculate for that. And so just for an abundance of measure, I was like, you know, those birds probably eat, I don't know, maybe 100 seeds each, and there's 220 birds in the yard. So whatever that, 20,000 seeds, whatever. And so I was really interested because, you know, I'm being stingy with my grass seed here. And I was like, well, how much does a 50-pound bag of ryegrass, a bag of it, have in there? And a 50-pound bag of ryegrass typically contains around 11,500,000 seeds based on the average of 230,000 seeds per pound of ryegrass. So here I am being stingy with over 11.5 million seeds for a few birds that just want to get a meal for the day. Help me be able to think and kind of, you know, put into perspective, you know, that I got it pretty good. But these birds, you know, they're just trying to get a meal for the day. And so I need to be a little bit more charitable on what I have to be able to give to God's creation. And so now I don't get as upset with the birds in my yard anymore. I'll still go out there and I'll scare them and shoo them off because they get their fill. But again, you know, God takes care of us. If you think that you need something, put it before the Lord. Whether you need it or not, He can help you make that decision. He can help you be able to actually get what you need. He provides for us. And that's the important part. And that's the part of where we see where we're at and what we can give and what we can offer. And so it's important that we always rely on God for those things, to let His Spirit work within us to where it opens up that we could share with others. All of us have that ability to do so, and that's why we're here, and that's what the body's all about. And so what do we need? And that's why I say that's what the body's all about. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 14, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into that, into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And I think about that again of the of how we share our testimonies at our service today, how we shared them, and what some of the things that we need as the body of Christ. And I think one of the things in the way that the Lord set it up, and as it's explained to us in the scriptures, is that we need each other. The body of Christ needs each other, with Christ being the head. So important, because that body works together, and the body receives all those good things from the Lord: hope, patience, humility, charity, grace. All those good things come from the Lord. And so many things we learn because of the body, how it all works together, how it all helps us to be close to Him, how it helps us to be able to feel safe, how it helps us to be able to share experiences of the blessings that we receive from Him, how we've walked in shame, how we've been prideful, how we learn from that and fall into humility. It's something that is truly a blessing for us as a people, as children of God, to be able to experience with each other, and especially forgiveness. Forgiveness is something that within the body is truly important. Something that is the catalyst that continues the body, continues to help the body to grow and to be strong, is through forgiveness. That's what that catalyst of all these things put together is what holds us together. And so, you know, what do we need from God? We get His love, His grace, His peace, His comfort, His Spirit. So think about these things. If you have the capability to come and to be a part from whatever state you live in, whatever country you're in, it's definitely important. It's important for us to understand that us as a body, we need each other. And, you know, when we have people that are absent among us, it's detrimental to the body of Christ. I think about those things, and I think about not just when people pass away, but, the future of individuals and their youth and where they're going to be and the things they're going to experience. Some things are going to be difficult, but with God, so many things are beautiful and so many things are wonderful, and we are so richly blessed in all things. We should honor God. But definitely there's a gratitude that comes with all of this. A gratitude, because when you've traveled through life and time for a while, you start seeing more and more how the love of God is taking care of you. And that's the most important thing. And therefore, take care of others. You have the capability. God gives you so much potential in your lives to be able to serve, to offer, your time, your efforts, whatever it is. And so think about those. Pray about those things. Those are the things that we should be praying about, and it will change you. It will take your heart in a different direction, and you will thank God. You will have the courage to be able to stand and thank God for all that He's given you. So that's my message for tonight. I appreciate the time you have given me, and God bless each and every one of you. Thank you.